Today on Real Radio.
The church at Laodicea was not a live church. It was not a bold church. It was not a dynamic church. It was a church, in fact, asleep. It was, in fact, a church, get a load of this, that was without Christ. How can you be a church without Christ? But the church of Laodicea did not have Jesus in that church. And that's kind of an oxymoron statement. How can you be a church and not have Christ in it? Well, we're going to learn and see how.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Our mini-series that takes a look at chapters 2 and 3 is called Letters to the Seven Churches. Now, we just got done recently examining what the risen Messiah had to say to the church at Philadelphia. Compared to the prior letters, they earned some relatively high praise. Well, now, as we read this last of the seven letters to the seven churches, we're about to experience the most sad and tragic letter. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs examining the letter to the church at Laodicea.
The church at Laodicea, as we shall look into the history of it and how it translates into our modern day, is quite alarming. So when we look and when we say at the fact that the church was dangerous, why so? Because it existed under a pretense. And a pretense, in fact, is a lie. A pretense is to make a declaration that you are something. If I say that I am a thus and so, and I am not, I am operating under a pretense. I have lied to you. I have caused you to think something that I'm not. If I stand and say, I am a Christian, and I'm not, then I'm operating under a pretense, which is a lie. If you say that you're a church and that you worship Jesus Christ and obey Him, and you do not, then that kind of a church would be operating or existing under a pretense, living out a lie. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, there the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that is how he lives, that shall he also reap. God is not deceived. Because man may be deceived by a pretense, God never is. And the church of Laodicea lived and operated and existed under a pretense. And the reason why it was dangerous is because rather than being salty, as Jesus commanded in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, they became a poisonous religious gathering. The church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church at Laodicea write, these things saith he who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup or dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat on my Father's throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Tremendous words. This is Jesus speaking in the seventh letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Jesus now writes this letter to the church of Laodicea. Little bit of background, as we've been faithful to do that for each of these seven churches. Why? Because the background, church, listen, where they lived, the community, the society, that they lived in, even its topography and geography. Where that church lived spoke about its existence and what made up that church. The tragic thing about the church of Laodicea is that, and is true for many churches, is that when it's not following Jesus, then the community will dictate to the church how it ought to be. The world will tell the church how it ought to be. The church is a theocracy, people. Did everyone hear that? The church is a theocracy, meaning that God runs the church. That works beautifully if we're a gathering of people who love the Bible, who depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit, and look to Jesus to be the pastor of the church. I'm only a sheepdog in his service. We look to Christ. But a church that is negligent of Jesus is a church of a Laodicean spirit and attitude. And the church of Laodicea became like the community and like the society that it was grown up in. Laodicea, the city itself, was located 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia, the church we looked at last time. It was about 100 miles due east from Ephesus, from the Mediterranean. It was referred to as one of the three cities. That's one of its nicknames, one of the three cities. Why is that important? Because of this. These three cities were Colossae, you know, the book of Colossians. That was a neighboring city. Hierapolis, which no letter is written to in the Bible, but it's well known. Hierapolis, and nestled in between those two cities was the city of Laodicea. It was founded by Antiochus II in 253 BC. It was named after his wife, Laodicea. As a Roman city, Laodicea had become extremely wealthy. You ought to mark that down in your note-taking. Do you take notes? You should take notes. You know, right in front of the seat is that little notepad there. Grab that thing and write this down. It's very important that it was a very wealthy city. Every time we come to a wealthy city in Scripture, we see most often believers suffering from apathy. They were a wealthy city. They were an industrialized city, according to the Roman Empire. They had these going for them in an economic or commerce sense. They were the central area for banking. They had a textile union there, and they had many textile factories that were working there. They had the highest quality of black wool known in the world. By the way, the sheep that were raised in that area, it's believed that due to the water that they drank, it turned their wool a black that has never yet been duplicated in the world today. Isn't that interesting? And they were the chief city of Asia Minor for medical products because of the chemical compound of the earth, because of the soils of the earth that existed in and around Laodicea. They extracted many of those minerals, and that was your headquarters for medicinal and medical creations and practices when it came to chemicals. So you could say that Laodicea was the head city for pharmaceutical products back in that day. Very interesting place Laodicea was. And in all of its wealth and all of its ingenuity, guess what? Remember how we've been talking about how these regions of Turkey were subject to earthquakes? In a series of earthquakes, Laodicea was the only city in all of the Roman Empire that when it suffered an earthquake, Rome did not have to step in to help it out. Every time they had an earthquake, Laodicea would say this to Rome. And by the way, it's documented in secular history in the Roman Empire. Laodicea, when offered Roman assistance to rebuild after devastating earthquakes, what do you think they said? They had such a level of pride and wealth, they said to Rome, "Thank you, but no thank you. We can do it ourselves. We have," what do you think they said? "Need of nothing." And they were talked about around the Roman world as being so wealthy and so self-sufficient and so able that they didn't need help from anybody else. Keep that in mind as we go through this study. Church, its geographical location is key to understanding this portion of the Bible. You ought to jot that down in your notes. Its geographical location is key to understanding why Jesus said what Jesus said. Very, very important. Why? Gosh, I hope this blesses you. Are you ready? You got to look at me because we don't have our PowerPoint up yet. So everybody looking? Okay, I'll go over here first, okay? Here's Hierapolis. Here's Colossae. Here in the middle and off to the side is Laodicea. Did you get that over here? Hierapolis, Colossae, Laodicea? Colossae and Hierapolis had greater elevations. The water that from these two locations flowed down, and they came in a series of tributaries and rivers to a point where the waters came together. Guess what was the name of the city where the waters came together? Laodicea. Why is that important? It's going to be very important because Hierapolis, and I'm telling you, I'm trying to put, in fact, I hope to be there in the summer of this year to come. I want to take a group of people to this region, and certainly Hierapolis, and here's one of the reasons why. Hierapolis is a place today that is completely made up of very, very geodetically unstable soils and thermal fed by fissures and volcanic pools beneath. If you think Old Faithful and that region is pretty cool, you haven't seen nothing when it comes to Hierapolis. There is a series of pools on the benches or terraces of Hierapolis that have varying temperatures of heated water, mineral heated water. And people sit in those pools and they make their way to the hotter water as they get therapeutic treatment. People came from all over the ancient world to sit in the therapeutic pools of Hierapolis. That's important. Jesus is going to say, I wish you were hot. They all knew what he was talking about. Oh, hot, like the therapeutic pools of Hierapolis. Yeah, we know all about that. We go there all the time, especially in the winter. We sit there when the air is cool and sit, or when my back's out. Oh, boy, I'll just go to Hierapolis. It makes me feel good. Jesus says, I wish you were hot. Or I wish you were cold. You say, yeah, I never understood that. Why would Jesus wish coldness upon a church? Because you have to understand Colossae. Colossae was at the base of an 8,500-foot mountain that received lots of rain and sometimes snow. The water percolated down into that mountain and came out of the base, and that base was the city of Colossae, and it was known for its ice-cold Arrowhead Spring mountain water. It had mountain water that was pure and refreshing and ice cold. So guess what was known in the ancient world? You would go to Hierapolis and you'd get all therapeutically charged up and refreshed and sit in that big, big series of jacuzzis and feel great. And then you would make your way over, it's a short walk, to Colossae, and you would drink the cold waters to refresh you on the inside. And Jesus said, I wish you were hot, or I wish you that you were cold. But because you are lukewarm, mixed, you make me sick, and I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Very, very important is the geographical location. This is a solemn letter. Jesus here has nothing to say good about this church, not one thing. Isn't this scary, guys and gals? It's kind of spooky. That Jesus turns and he writes a letter to people who profess to be Christians. And he's saying to them, you don't know anything about me. You use my name, but you don't know me. You use my name, but you don't live for me. You know my name, and I'm nowhere near you because you won't let me near or in the very church that you claim to be a part of, to be a member of. It is known by scholars, believed by myself, that as you look through the chronology of the scriptures and why this church is the last of seven churches mentioned by Jesus, that it's the spirit of the church of Laodicea that will be the prevailing witness of the church at the time of Jesus' return. And I believe that we're living in the age of a liberal, compromising church age. And that's what marked the church at Laodicea, was its compromising spirit. It would do anything. And they began to view compromise and the sacrifice of truth on the altar of tolerance to keep the peace. And that is wrong. What kind of a church am I? What kind of a church are you? In verses 14 to 15, we look at our first point. It is this. What kind of a church are you? What kind of a church am I as we near the end of the age? That's the whole thing behind these letters, and certainly behind this last and final letter. What kind of a church are we as we near the end of the age regarding the church's existence on earth? Number one, we see this in verse 14. As we near the end of the age, we need to be serious about the things of God as a church. People, we need to stop playing games and be serious about God. He says, to the angel of the church of Laodicea writes. This is the letter to the pastor of that church. And we know from as this letter unfolds, we know that as this letter is looked at its original language, as I'll do my best to bring out to you today, we know this about the pastor as we've been analyzing each pastor of this church, because as a pastor goes, so goes the congregation, so goes the church, so goes the community. We know that this pastor of the Laodicean church was given to compromise. We know that from many sentence structures and words that are used. He wouldn't take a stand for Christ. It was unpopular, so he didn't do it. He didn't give out the word of God uncompromising. That was not the thing for him to do. He didn't want to do that. He led others down the path that he was going, and that shouldn't surprise any of us. Leaders, by the very nature of leaders, lead people down the path that they're going. If you're visiting this church, you need to find out about the direction it's going. You ought to find out. One Thursday a month, I meet with people who have signed up to get involved in this church. They're new. They're thinking about getting involved in the church. And we sit down together in a small room and talk about it. Because I think they ought to know, you ought to know, the direction of this church. I don't want you coming in here and serving or being involved under a pretense. You need to know that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that He's God come to earth in human flesh. He died on the cross for all of our sins. He loves you and I without condition, and that He commands all men everywhere to repent and receive Him as Lord and Savior. That He is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, and no man goes to the Father but through Him. That's a nutshell of what we believe. That's important. We want you to know that. Well, the pastor at the church of Laodicea, it was better to keep things veiled, that they might better blend into the community. They had lost their zeal. And that's a tragic thing. Personally, I'm very excited about God. So are those on the staff of this church. So are they who attend this church by and large. They're excited about heaven. We're excited about the Bible, the Word of God. And we're excited about what God wants to do with us in the world. We believe that we need to... As Jesus said, be busy about our Father's business. He tells us that night is soon coming when no man can work, so we want to do all that we can for the Lord because we love Him, because He first loved us. And so because of that calling, God has given us all an influence. But we need to get serious about the things of God. The angel of the church of Laodicea, the pastor. Don't get wiggy about the word angel. It means the minister or the pastor, the messenger of the church of Laodicea, the one who speaks to the people. Anglios. The messenger to the people. Number two, look at verse 14. As we near the end of the age as a church people, we need to be refocusing again on what is reality. Jesus tells the church at Laodicea, these things saith he who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Because the pastor had erred, so the church had erred. And Jesus here is trying to get the man and the ministry back online. How does he do that? Jesus says, I'm talking to you, and I am the Amen. The word Amen, if somebody says Amen in a message, or, you know, I'll say something, or you'll hear someone say something, and a brother or sister will say, well, Amen to that. What are they saying? It means, let it be so, or that is true, or let it be. Okay? Let it be. Let it be, you know, Amen, Amen. Let it be so. That's true. That's right. So Jesus says to the church at Laodicea something radical to them. I'm speaking to you. I am the one who is the Amen. I am the truth. Let it be so. Jesus is saying. The faithful. The faithful. Jesus saying, I'm the faithful. Why did he say that? Because the pastor in the ministry at Laodicea had not been faithful. Jesus says to them, I'm faithful. He's admonishing them to get back into the Bible and know what it says. How can you be a Christian and not know what the Bible says? I don't get that. That's like saying, well, you know, I know that person loves me over there. Well, how do you know that? I don't know. I just want them to. Well, of course you want them to. But how do you know if they do or not? Well, I'm a Christian. How can you say you're a Christian if you haven't read his word to find out who he is? Jesus is saying to them, I'm the one that's faithful. And he says, I'm the true witness. Jesus is saying by stating, I'm the true witness, read about my life. You have the gospels, Jesus would say to them, read them. The church of Laodicea could have read the Gospels. Jesus is saying to them, I am the reality. And look, the beginning of the creation of God, the word in the Greek is better like this. It's very powerful. When the word says the beginning of the creation of God, don't let a cult at your door fool you. Oh, see, Jesus was created. He was the first one created. That will only be a successful lie if you don't know what the Bible says. The beginning of the creation of God. Are you ready for this? Have you ever been to an orchestra or to a philharmonic or to some sort of a setting like that? Have you ever seen the conductor? Have you ever seen Zubin Mehta? You know who that guy is? I love watching those guys. All those people who are incredibly skilled, all the things that come, they're sitting there. They've got their instrument. And up walks the conductor. Do you ever wonder what that guy does with those sticks? Why does he get paid more than everybody else? Why does he have to spend more time in school than all those other people who play those instruments? This guy's, he's controlling the orchestra. And have you ever seen what he's doing? He's controlling that whole movement. And he goes like this and people move. And he's like that in the eye and they're watching. And he's going like this. He looks like a crazy guy. But everything that he's doing makes perfect sense. And I like when some of those guys get kind of funky. You ever seen them? They're going like this in their tuxedo. And then they'll go like this. Boom! And you hear there's a guy back in there. He doesn't do anything, but he stands back there. And na 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 na. He doesn't slam those cymbals together without the conductor going, whoop, with a little stick, and bang. The beginning of the creation of God. It means that Jesus Christ, so to speak, took out his batons and went like this. Earth, be. Over here, ocean, wham. Sky, boom. Throughout the Bible, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus is the creator of the physical universe.
And that is one of the great truths that is repeatedly conveyed in the book of Revelation, the deity of Jesus of Nazareth. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, taking a look at the very last of the seven letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, the letter to the church at Laodicea. We'll pick up with more of this study on our next edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you'd like to hear it again, this series is available on CD. It's called Letters to the Seven Churches. And you can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more, realradioactive.org, or call us at area code 909-393-7100. You know, another main focus of the last book of the Bible is the return of Christ, commonly known as the Second Coming. Well, here to talk more about that and an upcoming event, we've got Pastor Jack and a special friend as well, right here in the studio. Pastor Jack?
Well, thank you, Mike. Yes, that's true. We're very excited about the Prophecy Conference that's going to be coming up at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And we're hoping that all of our Real Radio audience that's in the area would come on out and check out this great line of speakers. And we're very excited to be hosting this event. And so much so that we have in studio with us today Dr. David Hawking, who's going to be hosting it and heading it up. So, David, maybe you can tell the people a little bit about what's going on.
Well, it's the greatest conference in America. Of course, I'm prejudiced.
Oh, that's great.
And it's got to be the greatest church facility to have it in. Beautiful facility, wonderful hospitality, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, it starts Friday morning at 9 a.m., and it goes through Friday night. The speakers on Friday alone, Ed Heinzen, Randall Price, Jacob Prash, Thomas Ice, yours truly, Chuck Smith, Dave Hunt. Wow, what a day. And after being exhausted with that, on Saturday we get Heinzen, Price, Prash, Ice, myself, and Dave Hunt again. And then to wrap it all up on what is Babylon the Great, Jack, you're going to be doing that. We're excited again about coming to your place. It's going to be a great conference.
Well, David, we're very excited. And I want to encourage all of you again, Real Radio listening audience, we hope that you come, make time to come, and it's going to be a wonderful time. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening.
All right, then. To find out more, call us at 909-393-7100. That's the number here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Area code 909-393-7100. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.